everyone, welcome to the Made It in Music podcast. I'm Riley Taylor, our community manager here at Full Circle Music, and I'm so excited for you to hear this upcoming episode because today we get to hear from Tim Hunzi on music publishing. Tim is the VP of publishing at Big Machine Music. Armed with a degree in recording industry management, Tim founded Rhythm and Grooves Records after graduating from Middle Tennessee State University. His journey includes successful roles at Great Cumberland Music Group and Stage 3 Music Group, where he achieved numerous number one singles as general manager. In 2011, he co-founded Parallel Music Publishing, contributing to 5 number one singles in 5 years, and later joined Anthem Entertainment Group. In spring of 2021, Tim became VP of Publishing at Big Machine Music. This was recorded at our 2022 Music Makers Bootcamp here in Nashville, Tennessee. You can learn more about songwriting and find other music industry resources at fullcirclemusic.com. For now, let's dive into the episode.
We're here to talk about publishers and writers and what those relationships are. And I definitely work well off questions, so I'm going to leave some room so you guys can ask me a lot of questions, and I'll see if I have any fancy answers. I've been doing this for about 30 years in Nashville. I mean, you got my quick bio, but I am, first and foremost, what I like to start off saying when I do these kind of panels is, this is all about you. I mean, the music business doesn't happen without songs, you know? The basics of publishing is you need a hit writer, you need a hit artist, and then the rest takes care of itself. But, you know, people like to complicate what we do, but, you know, we're going to jump off here, but I want you to remember, first and foremost, it is about you and what you do. I heard Seth talk a little bit from backstage, and one of the things I would say, we'll start with the writers. You know, what is the expectation of a writer as a publisher? What am I looking for? What do I want? And we'll kind of tailor into, like, what makes me want to sign. The number one question I get is, what makes me want to sign something? We'll talk about that a little bit, too. But I look for a writer. One of the most important things you can do is find you. Absolutely, without a doubt. I mean, you know, you hear that with artists, like, what's your lane, what's your brand, what do you sound like, how are you producing yourself? But I'm going to tell you, writers, most importantly, you have to know who you are. What is authentic to you? Because, you know, he talked a little bit about, you know, comparison. It's a horrible thing because, you know, you think, like, if I just write like Ashley Gorley, or if I write like Seth or whoever, Chris Tomlin, I'll have a hit. Now, imitation is what we all do until we start creating. But you need to find your true voice, too. I think every single writer has a voice inside of them. Every single writer has something that makes them uniquely them. And that's what I want to hear. Because when a writer comes to me, I'm listening to that for that thing that makes them separate from everybody else. And there's an authenticity to that, right? Just like when you hear somebody on the radio and you immediately connect to that artist, that's what I look for when I have young writers, or not even young, when I have writers and artists come to my room, I'm looking for that same thing. And so often it's like, well, what makes you just know? Funny enough, it's that weird X factor thing. There's usually a song or a kind of like, I'll say usually you'll play me 4 or 5 that I'm like, there's something there, but there's usually one song where I go, oh, it might be the melody. It might be something I hear a thread and I can tell that that's what you're doing. Or I'm a lyric guy in general. I really like somebody that can turn a phrase or say something different. I signed a writer years ago, Bobby Pinson. He's done very well in the country market. And there was one song. I still have the cassette tape he gave me. That's how old I am. I'm a little bit older than probably most of y'all here. And it sits in my home office, and it was a song called Try Going Back. And I just remember the way he said that story, the way he shared it, just I knew I had to work with that guy. And he's still one of the best, hands-down, lyric guys I've ever worked with in the music publishing, which is saying a lot. So it's super important at the beginning that you truly kind of find your craft. And how do you do that? How many of you would figure you've written at least 100 songs? All right, you need to write more. That's what I'm going to tell you. My writers in general, they all write anywhere from 80 to 100 songs a year. Those first 100, that's just practice. That's just kind of getting going. That's not to say you can write fewer and have success, but what you are doing takes a lot of practice. And every day when you go in a room, and whether you're writing by yourself or you're writing with co-writers, you're sharpening this beautiful craft you have as a writer. And you're getting better and better, and you're figuring yourself out. And, you know, I'm not going to sit and talk, because that's a different conversation, about the do's and don'ts of publishing, because I'm a rule breaker in general. I think, you know, I could tell you, like, you need to, have a verse to a chorus, you need to get right to it, or you got to have two verses, don't forget your bridge, and it's got to follow structure, and then you're going to have a song that hits the radio that does none of that and is a huge hit. So I don't believe in rules necessarily. You increase your odds if you write a tempo song with a verse, chorus, maybe a bridge. Yeah, you probably have a better shot at getting a song cut. But I think it's more important that what you do comes across as authentic. And what does that mean? What does authentic mean for a songwriter? I want something that moves me. And you know what? An up-tempo, fun song that may be kind of silly can move me. If it makes me feel something, because what you can't ever forget about as a writer is you're writing something for an artist to sing, unless you are the artist, that it still applies, that you're going to get on something like this, you're going to get on a stage somewhere, and you're going to sing to people, and it needs to connect with them. There needs to be an emotional attachment to that song. And that could be something you wrote lyrically, the story you're telling, or it can just be something that makes people want to just get out of their seat, jump up and down, and have a good time. But whatever that is, you need to bring that in. I've said it many times to many writers that, you know, what you have to do is you learn how to write emotionally. Sorry, my coffee's kicking in, so I'll probably start talking really fast, so y'all hang in. I did have Starbucks before I got here. And I do ramble. I don't have slides. I just kind of like to fly off the cuff a lot. But what's really important, I remember I had a writer, and I'm not encouraging this on any level, but he went through a pretty tough divorce. And he started turning in these songs that were just amazing. And this emotion was coming out. And I said, that's it. I said, now you figured it out. Now, you don't always have to go through that pain, but when you figure out how to take what you're feeling and you put it on that page, people will attach to it. And again, it doesn't have to be something heavy. That's just what worked out for him. And thankfully, he's not gotten divorced again. But, you know, it did help him. You know, you want to profit from your pain, I like to say. Not making light of divorce or pain. But if you're going through something, learn how to write it. And again, it could be an amazing experience. Maybe you're about to get married. You write about that. I can't tell you the number of songs I get from every songwriter when they have their first kid. I wait for it. It's coming. I'm going to get that song. But that's good. That's where you're really learning to connect your emotions to the thing. And I can't tell you the number of times that triggers a change. I'll give you one more. I'll talk about a little bit more about the relationship. But I think it's so important to talk about what I'm looking for in a writer and what can help you. I had a writer one time that came and visited me. And here's some other rules. This will be the how do I approach a publisher. This is a perfect example. I just got a random phone call, and this guy goes, hey, man, you don't know me, but I've got some songs. Would you take some time? He was super nice. Key one, don't be a jerk. Don't be a jerk. Be nice. If you get me on the phone, because that's what people ask, how do I get a hold of you? You just be nice. I pick up my own phone. You can find me on the internet. Everybody can find email addresses. And it's how you address that email, you know? And are you a cool person? Well, this guy, his name was Jeff, super nice. He came and played me some songs. His songs were okay. I mean, he knew what he was doing. He wrote good songs. But I just really, we enjoyed each other's company. It was a really good hang. And so I said, hey, man, my door's open. I'm going to get back to that as well. When a publisher tells you the door's open, I did not offer him a contract, but I just said, hey, my door's open. If you have other songs, bring them to me. Every 6 months or so, this guy would call me up and go, hey, I got a couple others. Can I come play them for you? That happened for about a year, you know, so he saw me maybe 3 times. I finally looked at him and said, look, man, you write really nice songs, which is probably the worst thing I could tell somebody. That's a nice song, right? Like, that's really what you want to hear. But to everything I was saying, it didn't really move me. I was like, you know the structure, you have decent ideas, but I'm not connecting at all. And he's like, all right, I get that. I said, what you need is to rough it up, man. You need some edge. You need to find something I can gravitate to. Fast forward a couple years, and I saw him I'd switched companies, and he came by, and we just actually randomly bumped into each other in the hallway. There was multiple offices in this building, and he goes, dude, I think I got it. I've met these guys. I got some music I want to share. And he played it for me, and I was blown away. He ended up meeting with these guys, they were the Fleener brothers, Ryan and Matt. They were brothers. And they had a band called the Dirt Drifters. Most of y'all probably don't remember them. They were signed to Warner Brothers back in 2000-something. But it was amazing. It had edge. It had grit. I felt something. And I ended up offering him a publishing contract. They ended up getting a record deal, and everything changed. But we were able to do that because he maintained that relationship with me. So let me backtrack a little bit. Writers, how do you get deals? I'm sure you're going to hear this out there. And I think Seth mentioned a little bit, networking. The number one thing you can do as a writer is network. Not just with other writers, but in the business. And that's going to go on your entire career. You have to get out of your comfort zone. I know some artists are introverts. Believe it or not, I'm terrified of public speaking. But I'm an associate pastor, and I also do these panels a lot. And it scares me. Every time I get up here, I'm a little nervous, just so y'all know. But I've learned to embrace that. When I go into a room full of people and I stand in that back corner, I go, I have social anxiety, but I know what I got to do. I got to go in there and meet people. You got to get out of your comfort zone and go meet people. And not only meet them, but you need to establish those relationships and grow them with people that you want to work with, whether it's a co-writer you found, or whether you're doing that same thing that Jeff was doing with me and he's building a relationship with me. It may not be immediate. If you go into a room and you meet with a publisher and they do leave that door open, hey, if you get something good, bring me the song. Let me hear it. I will address two things on that. Don't send him 10 songs every 2 weeks. That's a bad idea. Never send a publisher a whole lot of songs the first time. If you have a couple you truly believe in, I would always encourage, if you're emailing me, go, hey, man, I would like to meet you. Would you? A lot of times you ask permission to send a song. Well, you've already sent the email. Attach one song. This is my personal opinion. Everybody's not the same as me. But give me one song, because more than likely, or link, or tell me if you're an artist, you know, put your link to your music online. 9 times out of 10, I'm going to check it out. And if it's something that entertains me, I'll holler back. And so, you know, you got to learn to balance that thing where, y'all know the word germ, don't be a germ. I don't hear people use that too much anymore, but that's where you're kind of being obnoxious and wearing somebody out. You know, there is a fine line between being persistent and being annoying. And I don't know what that line is, but you'll know it when you cross it. Because I say this from a guy that, when I started in the music business, I was a tape guy. Before that even, I had my own record label, and I was persistent. I would call people. We started a record label, and I had an R&B artist, and I remember calling this guy at BET back then. It was Black Entertainment Television. It was like the R&B version of MTV, for those that remember that. And we had a video, and I wanted it on there. They had this smash or trash thing they used to do, and I wore this guy out, man. And finally, he even relented. He goes, you know what, dude? You're nice, you keep trying, I'm gonna give it a shot, I'm gonna air it, and it ended up winning for like a month, like it just kept going, but I just kept on. But I wasn't a jerk, I was really nice to him, and I didn't call him every single day, but I was just persistent and consistent in my approach to him. So as I tell you these things, this is what I've had to use in my career. You know, if I needed to meet with X A&R guy before he even knew who I was, I would set a plan and a strategy how I was going to meet that guy. If I knew he was going to be at a certain event, I would go and just bump into him. Hey, I'm Tim. Introduce myself. Until I started establishing those relationships just like you guys have to do. So, again, be persistent, but be nice. If the door is open, don't walk away from that relationship and think, well, he didn't offer me a deal. And I'm going to tell you, look, I also give homework. If you come to me, I may give you something in a song. I might go, hey, why don't you change this verse or look at this line here? I don't know if I really dig that. Honestly, a lot of times when I do that, the song's fine. I just want to see if you're going to do it. Because one of the most important things outside of all this and networking and being persistent and all that is being teachable. If you're not teachable, I can't work with you. And that's not to say I know everything, because I'll be the first to tell you half the time I don't know what I'm doing. I'm always worried somebody's going to look behind a curtain and realize I have no idea what I've been doing all this time in the music business. But I have a lot of experience now. That's the word I like to use. I'm experienced, so I've done it long enough to kind of figure a few things out. But I will have you do that. And the number of times I've done that with young writers or writers that come in my office and never come back to me and bring it is astounding. I'm like, look, I took time out of my day to meet with you. I took time out of my day to listen to your songs. And I took time out of my day and invested an interest to say, hey, I kind of like this. Why don't you do something? And then you're not going to do anything in return. That's not going to work. You know, I need you to be teachable. So remember that. Sometimes when you're in there, publisher's not trying to be a jerk or hurt your feelings, but I need to know that you can hear me. Now, trust me, I have said things to writers where they've stormed out of my room. I think I made one writer cry one time. I try not to, but it happens. But that is an important thing you need to learn, is to be teachable and trust your publisher. And that's a great word, too. I don't want to get off track. As y'all can tell, I can ramble, so I'll try to stay on track. But make sure I cover it. Yeah, so be persistent. Bring the songs. Don't send too many. Network. Now, what is it about a publisher that you want, okay? I'm going to switch gears a tad. The most important thing you're looking for is a believer, period. You want that one person that goes, hey, I like what you do. I believe in what you're doing. You want that champion. I remember the first time somebody on my side of the business, one of my bosses looked at me and goes, man, you're really good at what you do, man. I believe in you. I felt so good about life, and he mentored me and brought me in and just really taught me things, and that's the best feeling in the world. And with that, when you find that person that knows what you're doing, you need to build trust in that person. The key is trust. You got to trust that person you're signing with, because you get these questions I get a lot. Do I need to be with an independent publisher? What about a major? What if this is your first? I'm really relatively speaking to those that are going to get their first publishing deal. You have to just sign with that person that believes in you. Because you can get a big money deal with a major publisher and get all the points you want, but if you don't really have a champion within that building and they're just signing you because they kind of like you, that's not going to be to your benefit. You would rather be with a small person and even maybe somebody less experienced. A number of people, like when Bobby signed with me, I was just a little rugrat in the music business, man. I had no idea what I was doing. I just knew I was going to do it, and I was going to win. I'm very competitive. I said, I'm going to do this. And he believed me, and we took off, man. He was writer of the year after about 10 years. Y'all know this is a 10-year town. Y'all heard that, all of you? Yeah. This is not a fast process, being a hit songwriter. But you want to have that trust. You want to trust that person. And so, like, that makes that whole teachable thing be a little more important, because you it works together. Like, I want to trust you. You got to trust me and know that you're in it. You know, it's a us versus them mentality, because you want that person running the streets. You know, you want that person networking, getting you in the right room, setting things up for you with a passion. Just as passionate as you are about your songwriting skills, you want that same person to be that passionate about you. And again, that doesn't matter about deal points or major or just a young person right off the street or somebody super experienced. You want them to believe, right? And so that's really the beginning of that relationship with a publisher. Now, what do you expect out of a publisher? Get this a lot too. You're going to get my time, my attention. And we can talk about specifics in publishing deals. I don't know how interested y'all are in that part. But when the Q&A happens, if y'all have any specifics on deal points, feel free to ask. That can be a whole hour-long conversation. But you know, what you want from me is somebody that you know is going to put the time, energy, and resources in to help you have a career. And you need to view it this way. This is going to be outside your marriage or a significant other, one of the most important relationships you're going to have. And it, when I sign somebody, I look at it as like a 5 to 10 year deal. Like if it's working, it's going to be a 10-year relationship, because we're going to do more than one deal. Most deals are about 3 to 4 years. So, you know, somewhere around 10 years. So you need to look of it in terms of a long-term situation, right? Like, am I willing to put that much time and believe in this person that much? Because that's what I think about. And I also think of it monetarily. It's a little bit of that, because for me and any publisher, if they look at you and they want to do a deal with you, I'm going to invest my money, and it's going to be probably for us to figure out if this is working, close to $100,000 before you see cent one and before I see cent one. And that's just the financial side. The hours, like I don't even know, like well, we were talking about it at the company the other day, if my writers truly understand how much time we put into you. because we sit in the room and talk about who we can get these people in the room with. We're sending out emails to co-publishers trying to get those rights. We're hitting up our artist friends trying to get you in the room. I spend hours a day strategizing, thinking about my writers, going through their catalog, building on that thing. So it's not just about the money, but I am investing me. You're getting me, my sweat equity, my time. And again, I don't think of myself in a super high light. I'm actually pretty self-deprecating, but I am going to put that into you. And so again, you got to look at it in terms of that and understand what I'm putting in, you know, not in terms of, well, I'm giving him all my publishing or I'm doing all this work, but we are going to work too. And that's what you should expect from your publisher. You should expect them to put the time and effort in to build out this relationship you all are going to have together and spend a lot of time. Again, you have to build, you know, relationships are built from communicating and you have to be a good communicator. I work extremely well with writers that communicate with me. It's a little different. Again, I'm going to sound super old. In the old days, I had to listen to all your work tapes before we demoed them, and you had to come in the office a lot more. But with most of you writing in studios now or going to, you know, the other track writer's room or his house or whatever, sometimes you're not as locally located as it used to be where everybody came into the publishing building. So you have to work very hard at continuing to build this relationship with your said publisher, going in, sitting with them, communicating, texting, being honest with them. Like, if I ask you, like, did you like that, right? Be honest. You know, I know this sounds like basic stuff, but I'm telling you, like, I have writers like, yeah, it was okay. No, I don't want okay. Like, was it good? Is this something we need to do? Because we have a strategy. We're laying out a plan to help you, you know, conquer, you know, the world and have hits. So, like, as we're building out this structure and being intentional about the rooms we're putting in, I need to know if that room worked for you. And I don't get my feelings hurt if my writer looks at me and goes, hey, I didn't like that. Hey, no sweat off my back. Let's keep moving. I need that honesty in that relationship to know that we're putting you in the best rooms for you. And that could be, I could take one of you and say, look, hey, man, I got this opportunity. You're going to go in and write with Chris Tomlin or Ashley Gourley, and you get that opportunity. Maybe it was a crappy write and you don't really connect. Guess what? That's okay. That's okay, even though you might think, well, man, I just lost my shot at having a hit. But you'll have other opportunities as you continue to go on and build your career and trust in your career.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Made It Music podcast. Make sure to check out our other episodes. We have well over 100 interviews with some of the top music industry pros, many here in Nashville and many from all over the world. Subscribe to make sure that you automatically get future episodes and leave us a review if you loved it. It would really help us out. Or send an email to support@fullcirclemusic.com if you have ideas for how we can improve the show. See you in the next episode.